Thank you. What a timely song for the message tonight. They didn't tell me they were going to sing that song. And I didn't tell them about the message tonight either. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. James and Ziphron had given you a piece of paper. And the purpose of that blank piece of paper is this. I am going to ask you to find an adjective. Find an adjective and write it on that piece of paper. An adjective that was applicable to you before you got saved, but it is no longer applicable to you now that you're saved. So while I'm going through this message tonight, I want you to think about an adjective that describes you or describes you in the past before you got saved, which no longer applies to you today. Amen? 1 Corinthians 16, look at verse 10. I'll be reading from verses 10 all the way to 17. Or maybe 18. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 to 18, if you want to stand to honor the word of God. Just follow along with me. Now, if Timotheus come and see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come to me, to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know that the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. We're switching our focus today, as guided by the text, to the people that were involved in the ministry. The people that were involved in the ministry. Brother Dom, can you pray for this message, please?
Lord, thank you so much that we can gather as a body to worship and praise you, Father. Thank you so much for the songs and the encouragement of the testimonies. And Lord, we live in a world where people don't believe this.
Yes.
But use us where we are as a light that we plant the seed of the gospel. And help us to be encouraged with the message. Give the teaching and help us understand, learn something. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we approach the closing of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you'll notice a switch in focus. In their first 7 or 8 verses, he's talking about the journeys. We talked about Galatia, Jerusalem, Macedonia, and Ephesus. But when we get to verse 10, all the way to all the way to the end of this chapter, what you will notice, and I want you to encircle it, or underline it, or highlight it, are names of Christians. First, he mentions in verse 10, Timotheus. And then in verse 12, he mentions Apollos. And then in verse 15, he says, the house of Stephanas. And then in verse 17, Fortunatus and Achaicus. In verse 19, he says, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla. So he begins to name these Christians that were a part of the ministry. And that's a habit. That's one of the things that Paul does, not only in the book of 1 Corinthians, but also in his other letters. Go to Romans chapter 16. Take a look at Romans chapter 16. Notice what Paul does in the book of Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, watch what he does. Verse 1. Find me who he's talking about. Verse 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, he says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of Achaia. Greet Mary. Salute Andronicus and Junia. Verse 8, greet Amplius. Verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Aristobulus. Salute Herodian. Of them that are of the household of Narcissus. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Salute the beloved Persis. Salute Rufus. Good names for dogs, right? Rufus. Salute Asyncritus. We're thinking about getting two dogs. And here are some names. Okay, Israel. Phlegon. Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, Philologus, Julia, Nereus, Olympus. Wow. Okay. Take a look at the Colossians. The end of Colossians. Watch what Paul does. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus. Verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brethren. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas. Verse 11, and Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision. Verse 12, Epaphras. Are you following me? Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas. Verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Verse 17, Archippus. Say to Archippus, he says, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, take a look at the last chapter of 2 Timothy. Look what Paul does. Starting with verse 9. Look what Paul does to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for he does it again. Demas hath forsaken me. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Verse 12. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas was with Carpus. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Verse 19, Prisca and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Verse 20, Erastus at Corinth. Trophimus have I left at Miletum. Are you following it? I'll go to Titus. Okay. Last chapter of Titus. This is fun, right?
Yeah.
Kind of tongue twister, right? Go to Titus chapter 3. Look at verse, starting with verse 12. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring, I like this one, Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos. He keeps doing it. Philemon. Go to Philemon. Okay. Philemon. Only one chapter. Look at verse 23. There saluth Epaphras, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. 1 Peter chapter 5. There's a reason why I'm doing this. 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want you to notice a trend here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose. Number 13. Verse 13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus. Okay. 3 John. 3 John. 1 John. 2 John. 3 John. 3 John. Verse 1. Then the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. Verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Verse 12. Who else? Demetrius had good report of all men. Here's a habit. Here's one thing that Paul, the Apostle Paul, does. He names all of these Christians, and here's the point. I only have one point. The ministry is about people, not programs. That's the message. The ministry is about people, not numbers. Amen? Paul, there's a reason why he does not neglect to name these Christians one by one, because these Christians are not numbers, they are testimonies. Amen? In our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you will find the first person that we'll see is Timotheus. And keep thinking about an adjective that describes you in the past, which no longer applies to you today, as I'm going through this. Okay? Verse 10, the Bible says, now if Timotheus comes, see, that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord. Now, Timotheus, turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Timotheus was Paul's son in the faith. And the characteristic of this man, of this Christian, I will write it down here for us. Acts chapter 16, verse 1, he was a son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and she was a believer. So his mother was a believer, a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. That's Timotheus for you. Timotheus is also known as Timothy, to whom the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy were written by the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 16, verse 21, the Apostle Paul considers him as, the Bible says this, Romans 16, 21, Timotheus, my work fellow. He considered him as his work fellow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. You know, the characteristic of this man, Timothy, is he is this kind of Christian. He was the Apostle Paul's faithful friend and co-worker or co-laborer. That's the characteristic of our first guy, or our first believer, by the name of Timothy. He was a son of in the faith of the Apostle Paul, and he considered him his son. He was faithful in the service. He followed him everywhere he went. When he went to Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 15, you'll find Timothy going with Silas, with Apostle Paul, as they traveled through Macedonia. In Acts chapter 18, he was with Paul when he went to Asia in Acts chapter 19. He was a very close friend of the Apostle Paul. That's the man named Timothy. And in our text, the next person is Apollos. Look at verse 12 of our text. The Bible says, as touching our brethren, Apollos. Now, where does that ring a bell? Apollos. Who is Apollos? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Who is this Apollos? He says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. And go to Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Before we turn to 1 Corinthians, actually, go to Acts chapter 18, verse 24. So, Timothy was a half-Jew, half-Greek. Okay, half-Jew, half-Greek. He was a believer, a Jewish believer. But his characteristic is that he was a faithful friend and a co-worker and a co-laborer. Apollos, in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, here's his characteristic. What does the Bible say? Anybody? A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria. What does that tell you? Alexandria of Egypt, right? He was brought up in the center of philosophy. Okay? Alexandria. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. That's the characteristic of this man by the name of Apollos. He comes to follow, he also becomes a follower of Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse 1, when Paul was in Corinth. And then, so when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because Apollos was mighty in, what does that say? In the scripture. So he was eloquent and he was mighty in scripture. What happens in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? He had his own followers, right? He had his own followers, and that created a contention in the Corinthian church. Look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. What was the cause of that contention? Look at verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul. Guess who was one of the causes of the contention? And I of Apollos. Because he was an eloquent man and a mighty in the scripture kind of man, he had his own following. People followed him because he was eloquent. People followed him because he knew the scripture. He was mighty in the scripture. Problem. The problem is, now you have the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, and you have another one who was also an apostle to the Gentiles, who was also a Jew, just like the Apostle Paul. So that created divisions, not necessarily that Apollos wanted to separate from Paul, but men will do what they do. Men choose a man over another man. And that's the cause of division. That created the division. But nevertheless, Paul rebukes the Christians in Corinth. Look, go to chapter 3, verse 5. Go to chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. Even as the Lord gave to every man. The point is, some men, some Christians, are given by God the gift of eloquence, the ability to expound scripture. Okay? And that's how that works. Apollos was one of those men. In verse 6, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You follow? So that's Apollos. Who's the next one that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16? Stephanus. Look at verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, they were the first disciples that were led by Achaia. And that they have, here's the characteristic of this Stephanus. This, some of you may be able to relate with them or with him. Look at the characteristic of Stephanus and the first fruits of Achaia. The Bible says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They were, I like that word, addicted. How many of you are addicted to the ministry? That's a good addiction. Amen? If you can't help it, every time the doors of the church are open, you can't help it. You have to be here. Guess what? You're addicted to the ministry.
Amen.
And it's not a bad addiction. It's a good addiction. When you feel itch, that itch, I got to go to church. I can't miss church. I got to get involved. I can't just sit there. I got to get involved. You know what that is? I have to be a part of this church. You know what that is? That's addiction. But that's a good addiction. Amen? Everybody's an addict. You know that, right? Everybody's an addict. The question is, what are you addicted to? Ever thought about that? I'll be like, Pastor, I don't have any addiction. Oh, yes, you do. Everybody has an addiction. Whether it's be TV or a video game or toys, you have an addiction. But this Stephanus, he had an addiction. He was addicted to the ministry. But what I like even beyond that fact is in verse 16. Here's what Paul says. Our attitude towards people that were addicted to the ministry is in verse 16. What does that say? That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. You know what that means? You know what Jesus Christ said? There was a man in Matthew chapter 18. He asked Jesus Christ a question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Remember? And they were divided. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? This is the disciples. These are the followers of Christ. And doesn't that baffle you, the kind of question that came out of their mouth? Who is the greatest? Am I greater than he? Who's more important? Peter's asking, am I more important than Barnabas? You know, is Pastor greater than Brother Dom? Is Brother Rommel greater than Brother Gary? Is Brother Jerry greater than Brother William? That's the question. Who's greater? In reality, they weren't just asking who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They're saying, am I greater than my next brother right next to me? My sister right? That's the real question, right? Let's look at what Jesus Christ did. Verse 2. In answering that question of who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The point that I'm trying to make in talking about Stephanus is this. The reason why Paul said in verse 16 that you submit yourselves unto those that are addicted to the ministry is because those that are addicted to the ministry are greater in the eyes of God. You following me? Those that make the sacrifices in the kitchen and in the and behind the curtains of this church in cleaning up and going around providing security and doing things that are seems to be negligible, at least in the eyes of the outside world, on who's the boss in the church, who's in charge in the church, isn't it? What have we been taught in Christianity today? That the pastor is the boss.
Sir.
Right? That the deacons are higher than the members. That the trustees, whoever in a position of in that kind that type of hierarchy, that's how that works. Right? But the Bible says it's the complete opposite. In the eyes of God, the person that is greater is not one who is in a greater position. In the eyes of God, the person that is greater is one who is addicted to the ministry. That person who may seem to be negligible when it comes to church leadership. Amen? That's not the deacon. He's not even the pastor. He's not the executive pastor. You like that term? I'm the executive pastor. Wow. That makes me look so big. You know what that means? When you, the word deacon, you know what the word deacon in the original Greek means? Diakonos, a servant. A servant. And it is found in that same text in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's the same line with the bishop, who is the pastor. The characteristic of the bishop and every deacon is that he and they are the lowest. Does that make sense? It's the exact opposite of how man perceives position. The people for me that are greater in this ministry here at Children of Mr. Bob Baptist Church is you. You that make the sacrifices Sunday after Sunday, even though your body's aching, you just want to sleep in. Amen? You're feeling dizzy. You're missing the ball game on Sunday night. Amen? And yet you come and you make the sacrifice and you continue to serve despite of an aching body. The Bible says, I have to submit to you in verse 16. Does that make sense? That ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. The greatest person in the church is the one who makes the greatest sacrifices, not the one in position. Isn't that crazy? Verse 17. So that's Stephanus. They're addicts. He's an addict. Verse 17. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus. What a name. Right? His name is Fortunatus. And rightfully so, because guess what the characteristic of this couple was? Look at the text. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus. What did they do? For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Number one, they're givers. Okay? Fortunatus and Achaeus are your givers in the church. The providers. Amen? And more importantly, look at verse 18. Look at the characteristic of Fortunate and Achaeus. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. You know what they are? You know what kind of church members they are? They are your encouragers. See that? They refresh my spirit and yours. And then finally, verse 19 is a couple. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, which is the church that is in their house. Now this Aquila and Priscilla, go to Acts chapter 18 verse 2. Acts chapter 18 verse 2, you'll find who they are. They were a couple. A husband and wife. I got to be careful with that term, couple. Nowadays when you say a couple. You said a couple, Pastor. That means they're men. No. A couple, husband and wife, okay? Verse 8, chapter 18, verse 2. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Now slide down to verse 18. Slide up to verse 18. Here's the characteristic of this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Verse 26. Slide out to verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Here's the characteristic of Aquila and Priscilla. You know who these, what type of Christians they are? These are your matured. Notice how they corrected or they expounded the word of God more correctly. They are your matured and loving couples. We're a couple in the church. Amen? So, in our text, Paul, in closing the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he recognized the fact that the ministry is about people. He begins to name them one by one. The ministry is not about numbers. It's not about programs. It's about people, individual people. Timothy was a faithful friend. He was a co-worker and a co-laborer of the Apostle Paul. Apollos was an eloquent, mighty man in the scripture. He was a leader of himself. And yet his labors are equal with the Apostle Paul. Stephanus was a church member who was just addicted to the ministry. Never gave up. Always faithful. Always there. Semper Fi. Amen? Always there. Fortunatus and Achaeus, they were your givers. They had a good job. Maybe they were well-to-do. And they just gave. They provided. But even more importantly than just giving money, they were giving joy. Amen? They were givers of joy. They were encouragers. And then Aquila and Priscilla, they're your matured and loving couples. They have a lot of wisdom. When you go wrong, they pull you to the side and say, "Sister, can I talk to you? Amen? Brother, can I talk to you?" That's that kind of that's the kind of couple they were. Now you look at our church. Right? You begin to wonder, huh? In the ministry, there are faithful friend and co-workers and co-laborers. In the ministry, you'll come across eloquent believers that are mighty in scripture. There's a little bit of a danger there because men tend to follow men, right? But nevertheless, they are equal with the Apostle Paul. And then in the ministry, there are those members that are just faithful. You know, the society has given the word addicted such a bad connotation. But there's such a thing as good addiction. In the ministry, there are those that are just givers and providers, and there's encouragers. Always happy. The church is going through split, and they're happy. Amen? A church member says goodbye, and they're still happy. They always look at the positive things in life. Amen? And then in the church, there are... God has placed in the church mature, loving, full of wisdom individuals in the church. And the reason why I led you to several books in the New Testament that names all of these individuals, because, as I said in the beginning, the ministry is about people. Amen? Now I gave you a piece of paper, and I ask you to write down an adjective that describes you before you got saved. Was it easy? Or was it hard?
It's hard.
It's hard. How many of you was not able to write one? Brother Jerry, two? Three, four? How many of you were able to write something on that piece of paper and is willing to share it? Let's start with Brother Dom.
Right?
What is it?
Wicked.
Wicked. So, Brother Dom, before Christ, wicked. After Christ, white. Right? What else? Sister friend?
Lost.
Lost. Before Christ. After Christ. Found. Who else? Sister Connie?
I was only 10 when I got saved, so I can't say I was too wicked. But I was unsaved. And then when he found me, then I was saved. So I was saved, so I was
saved. Amen. Prior to Christ, she was unsaved. Now she's saved. What else? Brother Gary?
No direction.
No direction. Wow, I like that. Lack of direction. After you got saved, there is direction. Amen. What else? Mama?
When I was single, I was a party goer.
Party goer. Wow. Church goer. Party goer? Church goer. I did not know that. Anyway, next. Next. Anybody else? What did you write? What kind of adjective would you describe yourself, Brother Mel?
Selfish.
Selfish. After you got saved, not so selfish. Amen? What else?
Greedy.
Greedy. Brother Jared didn't know that either. But after...
Because he's still greedy.
Before Christ, greedy. After Christ, I tell you, she's not greedy. I've seen her testimony at home when she cuts my hair. I've seen her testimony at home. She has a jar. Instead of collecting tips, she calls it the Jesus jar. Instead of taking the tip from the customers, she says, I don't want a tip. I want you to put, if you really want to give, put that in the Jesus jar. And you know what Sister Jeannie does to the offering? I'm not doing things to lift her up, but you know what she does? That goes into our offering. That goes to support other missions work. And she feeds me too. Amen? What else? What else? But I remember.
Right.
I'm not blameless. I can tell you that. I'm not blameless. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. The ministry is about people. Everyone that we work with, everyone that we reach out to, everyone that is a member of this church has a testimony. Has a testimony that had been changed and how God changed them. That's what the ministry is about. That's why I'm not very hard on, well, how many, what was the count last Sunday? What was the attendance on, we mention it every now and then, but that is not the goal. The goal is not the number. The goal is hearing lives change.
Amen.
Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's close in the prayer. Is it real? We'll open up the altar. If you need to come today for any reason, as the piano is playing, maybe you can just remember how you were before he saved you. That's enough cost to come to the old-fashioned altar. Isn't it? Let's remember how you were and how God had changed you and how you are now. I tell you, that's the ministry. That's what Christianity is about. It's about the individual names. It's about individual persons. It's not about the programs. It's not about the ministries. It's not about the Christian school, the Sunday school, the Bible school, the women's fellowship, the men's fellowship, the children's. It's not about those ministries. Those are tools. But the ministry and God's concern are the individual names. Individual names. It's not about building something great for God. It is about leading one. Leading one. Gaining one. Reaching out to one. Encouraging one. Loving one. Providing for one. God is concerned with individuals. Not masses, just individuals. The altar is open. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar is open. Stand to your feet. I'm going to ask three men, and maybe a lady too, if you would like to close us in prayer. Just real quick, just close us in prayer. Brother Jerry, you want to start? Brother Jerry?
Lord, at the end, you are the final.
of doubts, Lord, you're the only one who knows.